Hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today I've got a special guest to talk not only around hockey but just sport in general. So, hey Juan, how you doing?
Good, Gary. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
No problem at all. So, do you want to introduce yourself? Yeah, and then a bit about your coaching company and your background as well. That'd be amazing.
Cool. Well, I'm Juan González Mendía, originally from Argentina. Been in the country for around 11 years now. Did my studies in America and then back to Argentina. Worked there in independent schools. Worked in New Zealand for a year in an independent school as well. Then came across, worked in a school here up north in Cumbria. Had 8 wonderful years over there with who is now my wife. Starting working for the national governing body within rugby, which is the RFU. Fortunate enough again to do a little bit of coaching around the national pathway with the 16s, and then also had a bit of contact with a Premiership club up there in the northeast. Then came down to the Midlands, carried on working for the national governing body, and started working full-time for a Premiership club in the Midlands after a year in a school down here as well. Then founded my own coaching company. So left the club and, yeah, I mean, I've been running South America coaching for just under 2 years now. Absolutely blow mind trying to move from things I've never done before, like sorting out an accountant and taxes and doing my own staff and payrolls and stuff like that, and subcontracting people and dealing with marketing campaigns and things that I never ever thought I was going to be involved with, which is all a great learning path, and I'm really enjoying it. As I said, it's just been too much too quick. We're working with just under 80 organizations around the world. We've managed to hit Africa in early Feb, and that completed all four continents. We haven't been to Antarctica yet, but there's not much there. So yeah, we were the majority of the clients still in South America and in the region. So working with countries such as Argentina, Chile, been a little bit in Brazil and Uruguay, which is great. Some bits sort of getting ready to happen in Paraguay as well, which is all great. We've got some bits in Europe, some here in the UK, some here in Italy, Spain as well. And then we started to reach out to sort of European, sort of Central European countries, done a little bit with Moldova and the Ukraine, and then a little bit northern, so get in touch with people in Latvia and places such as the Czech Republic as well. We've got some contacts there now, which is great. Lithuania has been in the role for some time now. Some contacts and some people that are working with in Asia, been in Malaysia early on, this year as well. I can hardly remember where I've been so far. a little bit in Singapore as well, which is great. Two big clubs there in Singapore. And then, as I said, we just come back from South Africa a couple of months ago, which is fantastic. So, yeah, the idea of the company is trying to enhance learning environments and try to collaborate, try to get the adults that are responsible of those mm-hmm. learning environments to upskill their game, really, and their delivery. It's based around conversations. It's based around their own programs. It's based around their own necessities, I guess. So a lot of people will ask me early doors, what does the program look? What can you do for us? And the answer is I'm not trying to dodge the question, but it's very much, well, let's see where you are now, and then we'll have the conversation. what we think is best for your club, for your coaches, for your decision makers. We try to do a little bit with parents as well. We start in doing a little bit with anybody to do with officiating and referees, umpires, whatever they call themselves. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a 360 approach within the organization, which is, I think, what makes the difference long term, really.
I mean, wow, that was a heck of a lot of information in that intro there. So the stuff that interested me straight away, well, it all interested me, but just straight away I was thinking, right, if I'm a development officer, I'm a chairman of a hockey club, what would I want to get in touch with Hwan around? And that really in my head was kind of like, right, actually, as a hockey club, we want to develop our coaches, we want to develop the players, and also we might want to be in touch with you with regards to possibly bringing over people to support that, so it might be overseas. So is that about right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You've done your homework, Gary. You've done your homework. Yeah. That's great.
More listening on when it was homework.
We do offer a number of things. I mean, I'll invite all your listeners to go and check us out on social media.
Yeah.
And our websites as well, which is sudamericacoaching.com, and the social media is at SUD Coaching, so Sud Coaching. And basically what we try to avoid is what I tend to call the parachute effect. Yeah. So you get a name in, you get a great coach, you get a great player. They tell you a little bit about their experience or their current environment, if they're still playing or coaching. And then that person goes away. Coaches go and try a few things here and there. Most of the coaches will be volunteers with other jobs throughout the day. So they'll try a few things. Some of the things will click, some of the things won't. And then, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but most people will go back into their comfort zone. Okay. So the idea is trying to stay in touch with them. So within our 360 development programs, we have tools such as your online communities. So we will create an online community that looks pretty much as any social media. It's free within the platform. It's got no ads or anything annoying like that. So what these coaches will get is a place of interaction. So they will go onto the community maybe Sunday morning during breakfast before they're going to their clubs. They get a few ideas. I'll throw in a few challenges throughout the week. They'll start challenging each other. There's lots of, when I'm working with regional unions, there will be lots of mini challenges within clubs as well. So people get into those sorts of things. So those are the online communities. I think they work really well. I think it's 18, 19 at the moment, just under 20. All very different in different languages as well. Some in Spanish, some in English. Then we'll have key mentoring programs within the organization. That could be coaches, which are about 90%. And then we'll work with a couple of decision makers within the organization. We've also incorporated recently the chair of a PTA. So one of the clubs that we're working with, they got a parents association, and I'm mentoring her, and we're working alongside for her to try to feed things back to the parents and try to get the best experience out of everyone there, including the mums and dads that go and watch and then go and coach. And then we'll have little things like, well, not little things, but we'll have our residential interventions. So we'll pop into the club, we'll pop into the union. We'll do different workshops. We'll do different sort of programs within the club. And there's a union that I work with in the east of Argentina. And they, every time I'm there, they do like a 3-4 cities where we go and visit 3-4 cities, and we try to spread the word. So yeah, all of the programs are based around the necessities of each organization, which, I mean, it seems it seems ridiculous, but they're all very different.
Yeah.
And obviously there's some things in common, but there's loads of things out there. So obviously we will do one-on-one with different coaches as well, like get in touch. And I don't really like the word mentoring, but I think it's the best way of describing what we do. I think we just have conversations. Again, trying to get the best version of themselves. Again, a bit of a cliche phrase, but that's what I'm trying to do. We'll come in. I'll do a number of schools, and we'll have conversations around the PE and sports program. And yeah, it happens with schools in the majority. I worked with a couple of universities as well. We do something that doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, it's awesome. I really enjoy this. When different teams are on tour in the UK, we will get together a program for them, and we will bring different specialists in. If it's a sports psychologist, if it's a nutritionist, if it's another coach developer to come and work with those coaches in certain areas. So we've done a few of them, and we've had really, really positive feedback. We'll do something similar, but with coaches that come into the country as well. So I've got a group of coaches coming in November, the next one. There's no set days. There's no set itinerary of what we're actually going to do. I'm lucky enough to have a big network of people that will welcome us within their organisations. So if it's rugby, then and a certain aspect of the game will pop into different organisations that they can actually exchange with the coaches. Again, no agenda. We'll go in, we sit down, we'll have a coffee in between us, and then we'll play around with the empty cups and do all these things, which is great. And the two newest units, I don't know, sections that we've incorporated are to do with recruitment, both with pupils that come to schools in the UK, all of them through sports, trying to find somewhere where they can go into the next step in terms of their own sports, around scholarship programs and bursaries and things like that as well, which is really taken off. And then, yeah, I mean, it started by chance, really. A good friend of mine said, look, I've got my European passport. What do you think about me coming over and doing a little bit of work with one of the schools you work at as an experience? The school liked him so much that they offer him a contract for a year, and now he's going into his PGCE as a graduate next year. So I said, boom, this is how I started 11 years ago in my old school. Started as a gappy, as a graduate, doing all the jobs nobody wanted to do and going above everything. So if we find candidates like that actually have a decent level of English, not like mine, but a lot better, and if they got a European passport and they sort of comply with all the home office work requirements to work in the country, and they can coach to a major sports, then I offer them to the schools, and obviously they go on with their career, which I really find I find that really rewarding. It takes me back to when I first started and somebody said, look, here's a chance. What do you want to do about it? So in a very long-winded answer, which I do apologize for, that's what we're trying to do.
No, that's cool. I'm going to take you back to the beginning, the first one, the 360 development program.
Yeah.
Just again, from I'm thinking more my club's point of view, they could talk to you about, I know you said you didn't like the word mentoring, but it was sort of mentoring. There was sort of consulting about what they were delivering. And then there's this online resource, which you were talking around. So again, do you want to just give me, it doesn't need to be hockey, but just an example of how that's worked so far. So where do you think that sort of helped a rugby club that you've been working with at the moment? What's been the massive change that you've seen so far with the impact?
In the majority of the organizations that I come across with, and I'm lucky enough to sort of pop in and have conversation with them, it's that there is someone in there that in a way is the person that has the most knowledge. They tend to be the first team coach. Mm-hmm. They tend to be the directors of hockey or whatever you call them. That person needs a lot of support most of the time because there's a lot of eyes looking at him or her. a lot of expectation about passing on knowledge and developing coaches and stuff like that. So we usually start having conversations with somebody in that sort of position. And we look at their master plan. If they got one, we look at their development plan. If they actually have one, otherwise we try to help them to put one together. I will never do things for them. I will never impose my own philosophy or anything like that. Again, we just try to work around that. We work alongside each other. So that would be a starting point probably. And then we will look at how to develop the adults that are responsible of the learning environment. So let's face it, 90% of the club is going to be made up of children, if not more. They will have their senior teams, which is about 10-15% of the whole structure. And it's really, really fundamental in my eyes that we actually go on and try to develop the people that are in charge of those learning environments, mm-hmm. those development environments, for the simple reason that the children are not coming to the club for the hockey as such, and not coming to the club to make friends that they still don't know. Hopefully they will go on to make a lot of friendships, but they still don't know them. They're coming to the club and the first face they're going to see is that adult, is that person responsible for their environment. So if we equip them with loads of tools to make that fun, purposeful, safe above everything, creative, an environment where people can express themselves, they're actually having a great time. And then the hockey, in this case, will come as a bit of a consequence of everything else. And I know that's pretty much your philosophy, and most of your listeners' philosophy will be along those lines. Mm-hmm. However, I've never met a volunteer with bad intentions. I've never, ever met somebody waking up on a Sunday morning, leaving their family, or maybe taking a member or a couple of members of their family to the club and going, today I'm going to cause some harm in my mind. Yeah. I mean, I've never met anyone like that. If there's somebody out there that is like that, that person is just insane and he shouldn't be around children. However, all of the volunteers I've come across, they're actually really, really nice people and they really want to spend time with other people. However, there's been times where they need some support, they need some tools. So basically, they were the last one that ran away when somebody said, oh, we need a coach. And they, so somebody pushed them and volunteered them. And maybe that happened 7 years ago. Maybe that happened 10 years ago. Maybe that happened last month. So obviously, the person has been doing it for a number of years. They will feel they have a lot of experience. However, I tend to ask coaches, how many years have we been coaching? 5 years, fantastic. Now, does that reflect your experience? Is that 5 years of coaching the same thing year after year, treating people the same way year after year? Have you evolved your own philosophy? Have you evolved how you communicate, how you connect with people? So that's where I feel I can come in and sort of try to lead them into some tools that they can use within their everyday training sessions, games, and dealing with parents, dealing with decision makers within the organization. I talk a lot about 360 degree in terms of leadership as well. So how do we relate with people? So going back to your original question, I'll start with that person that is in that position, and then we'll try to spread the net as wide as possible. And in a way, again, it's a bit of a cliche again, but I will try to make myself redundant with as the time goes mm-hmm. by. Because obviously I'm trying to develop developers within the organization. So if I used to visit a club 3-4 times a year, hopefully the following year will be 2 or 3, following third year will be maybe once, or maybe we stay in touch online. But yeah, that's
pretty cool.
Go about.
That's pretty cool. And that's a way of showing that it's sustainable as well. And ultimately clubs, organizations, schools, whoever that might be, need to be a bit more sustainable, and or an individual needs to be sustainable, can't rely on you that 3 times a year, actually taking it down to 2, they're losing one of the contact time they were having as well, which I think that's kind of a nice staggered staged way of being able to do it. I like that a lot.
It was my favorite intervention, the one that they're not expecting me to be at the club. So we'll do this thing. I've done it with a few clubs now where they don't know I'm going to pop in. And I just appear one evening, they're all coaching, they're all training, and we'll do some live mentoring there and then. And to me, that's really, really important, not to put people on the spot, obviously, but just to see if the message of, but you know how it is. People get together in a room, we're all in agreement, this is great, this is the philosophy, this is how we're going to talk to people, this is how we're going to address parents, and blah, blah, blah. And then when it's there and then, people tend to go back to their own.
Of course they do.
Little twitches and things. So, yeah, I mean, that's by far my favorite intervention. When I pop in, people go, oh, what are you doing here? Obviously, somebody knows because they're expecting me, but it's that sort of, oh, I didn't have a plan or anything. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Because this
here
is
we go.
Exactly. This is what happens week in, week out. So yeah, that's quite cool, actually.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that's a really good program. So, and again, clubs can or schools can contact you with regards to that as well and get a bit more detail, which is great. The second one, which I was trying to think as well, a little bit around the hockey clubs that I've been involved with and spoken to, this residential coaching experience in UK and in Europe. So I was thinking you're bringing coaches over here in November. Yeah. We may have some good hockey club environments or some environments where people go, love it if you could bring these people to see us. Or actually, the other way of, I want to go see some environments abroad. Could you hook me up? You know, is that what that is? Because yes. I was, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. There'll be a group of coaches, enthusiastic coaches, some of them semi-pro, some of them volunteers that will actually get maybe a little bit of funding from the organization or not, or they're just funding it itself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they'll go, oh, we're really keen to go and see this top premiership environment. Fantastic. We'll pop in there. We'll have conversations. But then for me, it's really important that they can transfer stuff back into their environment.
Yeah.
So if going back into rugby as an example, if I've only taken people to Saracens, Twickenham, and Northampton Saints and Leicester Tigers, what they can transfer into the grassroots club back in their countries would be some magnifying sort of ideas, blue skies kind of things.
Yeah. It
will be a small transition for the everyday sort of benefit of their children, of their senior teams. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we'll hook them up with clubs that are similar, not only in standard play, but also within the organization and how they're running it, to go and spend some time together. We'll take them into schools. We'll take them into a university as well. And there'll be all be different layers of as I said, not only level of play, but what's behind the organization. So I think that's really important because sometimes we look at these coaching trips and they will take you into three or four top environments, they'll take you to watch a game, and then that's pretty much it. And you've got to come in a certain day and leave in a certain day. What we do is we try to tailor it to the benefit of the volunteer, of the coach. I mean, don't get me wrong, we had some professional coaches coming across, and we've organized things with top professional organizations as well. But the majority of the coaches, as we know, they won't be in that environment. So I think that's quite important. And they say, okay, this is what we want to take after the trip. This is the current issues we have in the organization. These are our strengths. This is what we're trying to do. We want to work in participation. We want to work on an organizational point of view. We want to have a look at our development plans in terms of facilities and sit down with the person responsible in an organization in the UK for those sorts of things. So, and I think it's really beneficial because there wouldn't be many occasions for them to come across each other and people stay in touch and they carry on sort of having conversations, which I think is great. And then, yeah, I mean, I've had trips where an organization here in the UK had ended up in Argentina through a couple of coaches that they met here and they've been back there. And I think those things are great. It's just links for life, really.
That's amazing. Yeah, I really like that idea. And certainly, I think hockey clubs over here could benefit from that, and by sort of a little bit of finding out about what, if they could be in touch with you to get themselves a couple of coaches to maybe go and see some different environments abroad, or getting some actual coaches from abroad to come over here and talk to them about the experience that they've got over there. So yeah, that's definitely something that we, from my perspective, if a hockey club asks me a question through social media around this, I'm just going to factor that into a conversation with you. There you go. You can pass that over to you, and you can talk to them around hooking themselves up together. Because I think that working partnership's huge there. There's so much that we can learn from each other. As you know, I've learned so much from going into just different sports, never mind going into, you know, different environments in my own sport abroad or whatever that might be. So
100%.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Just to give you a quick example, we were one of the biggest clubs in Santiago in Chile. I've been working with a coach there as a mentee. We've got a relationship that goes back about a year. He started talking with the hockey coaches in his club as well. He's a very persuasive man, so he's been going and going and going and going and knocking and knocking and knocking. And then we are likely to be taking two top coach developers in the UK back there in December to work with both of the biggest sports in the club, so hockey and rugby. And that's just from having conversations and people saying, look, this opportunity here, why don't we turn it into something great for the club? And obviously on the back of the best interests for the children that come to the club. So that's a really positive story as well.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's if we could do more of that, that'd be immense. That would be immense. For sure. The next one that interests me a little bit was around the young professional work placements in the UK. Yeah. So, and this, I think this is where I've tried to sort of hook clubs up, not with necessarily yourself, but where I've tried to say to clubs previously, they're looking for a coach. So a hockey club's looking for a coach, a school is looking for a hockey coach, but they often bring over a player. Yeah. And then the relationship's not always the best, because sometimes the players they bring over aren't as good a coach as they should be or could be, and they're certainly a better player. So the club often brings over a really good player, but actually to get him the some income, need him to go coaching a school. But actually the school bit is seen by the player on the way over as not being as important. But from what I've read and the bits that we've spoken around here, the young professional coming over could be a good player or really could meet the club's needs in actually being a fantastic coach, to be able to develop club school togetherness, linking it, maybe delivering it both, which would be awesome. And that's definitely something that I think could work really well. So do you want to just go into a bit of depth around that if you could?
Yeah, 100%. Most of the programs that we've got are around three basic necessities, which are bringing a member staff that could be into a school or into a club.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything with universities yet, but hopefully it's in the list. So let's take any town with an independent school and a club. Yeah, your local hockey club with your local independent school. They need a member staff. They can probably share the cost of that member staff.
Yep.
If the school has accommodation, even better, because it's another asset. And if they have boarding, even better, because this young professional can obviously be in the boarding house, get some great relationships with the pupils in there, have all the meals and all the accommodation costs covered, which is fantastic. And then they get an extra pair of hands within the school. It works from a sporting point of view. It works from a boarding residential point of view. Some schools do full boarding. Some schools do weekly boarding. Some schools do only overseas boarding. And they need people over during the, let's say, the weekends. I mean, so many different models out there. And then you get the club involved as well. And obviously, as long as the game days and training sessions, they don't over, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't clash with each other. Okay. Then happy days. And schools tend to work with the local clubs as well, which is great. And then there's a third asset. Obviously, not all of our candidates will have it, but the majority of them will because of my network. They will have an additional language. So they will actually help out with the MFL department of the school. Some of them will have music as well, so they will play an instrument and they'll help out with lessons as well. But the fact that they can come in and cover so many bases as a young professional going into education with a passion of helping others and developing others, I think it could be a really, really good start of somebody's career. And again, it's very similar to how I started back in 2007. So I think it works really well. To give you an idea, we've got about 8 people that were placed last September, and 6 of them have been offered to carry on within the school. Wow. And 4 of them within those 6 have been offered a PGCE, so a postgraduate in education, actually to join the bottom of the scale within 2 years' time, which I think is fantastic. The 2 actually that are not being offered to continue is because they've declined the offer. Sorry, so they have been offered it, but they've declined it because they're going out to different projects. But I think it's superb. There's a lot of interest. We've got a dedicated section in the website, and we've got a dedicated email address as well, which is recruitment@southamericacoaching.com. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate, but we will get between 5 and 6 CVs every week from all corners of the world. We've done Georgians. We've done everything to do with South America. We've had some Americans as well. We've had some Hong Kong nationals get in touch. So yeah, it's out there, which is fantastic. And again, if you're listening to this, if you are interested in pursuing a career, which is a mix of club and schools, or just club or just schools, you want to carry on playing a little bit, then just get in touch, because there's so many opportunities out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Like it. And then I suppose the last thing to chat around would be the coach workshops. So you yep. host a lot of workshops, or not? Well, not a lot, but there are a variety of workshops that you offer. So you've done some previously, and then you've got some coming up. Do you want to give us a little bit more information around some of those?
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond the sport. That would probably be my starting point there. I've been fortunate enough to work with a variety of sports that I know absolutely nothing of in terms of rules and tactics and techniques and anything like that. I believe coaching is coaching, and treating people is treating people, and connecting with people is connecting with people, regardless of what you're trying to do. If you've got a hockey stick, if you've got a bat, if you've got a rugby mm-hmm. ball, if you've got a netball in your hands, I think it goes beyond, which is I think the starting point of any coaching workshop, really. So we will go on about lots of topics. The topics will probably start with some sort of presentation, some sort of theme of the evening or the afternoon or whatever it is, the morning. However, it will develop around, again, the necessities that I've noticed of the people that are in the room or on the pitch. We tend to do, again, I don't want to generalize, but 30% inside, 70% outside. I'm a massive believer that people learn better by doing. So we get them to do stuff, we get them to try stuff. And we could be talking about games for understanding, we could be talking about parental guidance, we could be talking about questioning, we could be talking about feedback, we could be talking about self-awareness and self-discovery, we could be talking about exploration and the constraints-led approach. And don't get me wrong, I'm not an expert in any of these areas. I'm just a very good thief that takes some bits from all great authors that are there and try to put it together and get people thinking most of the time on their feet. Not at the moment, obviously, because of my injury, but that's the format. It's fun. I try to get loads of smiles. We will play with all sorts of things, from Jengas to Chinese sticks, and we'll play with balloons, and again we'll try to get a learning environment going. Probably the key thing is for them to leave with more questions than what they came in with. Yeah. So once you get bitten by that little bug of I'm going to go and find out about this. I'm going to go on this website. If your organization has some sort of online sharing resource, then I'm going to try to check it, I don't know, 3-4 times a week and see what resources are up there. I'm going to post some questions. I'm going to go and find some sharing spaces, which are so many out there on the internet right now. And yeah, I mean, everybody says this and everybody will go on about it as time goes by. But I mean, we've got a lot more information than what we used to have many years ago. So I think it's entirely up to people like you and I to go and, okay, well, you've seen fire for the first time. Okay, let's go and see what you can do about this now. Absolutely.
Collaborate. I think in my world, I'd just call it a mini community of practice, you know, putting things together, sharing ideas of each other, you know, that sort of stuff there. Then you leave with loads of ideas, some light bulbs, and then you go, right, I'm going to put this in. And actually, the way that I've tried to do it is that we set up WhatsApp groups for afterwards. And when we brought a load of people together, some WhatsApp groups, and then we've shared what we've done, what may have worked and what may didn't work so well. And then we put in there that, you know, this was great, but actually this is the stuff you want to know, which is what didn't work so well. And then maybe share some more ideas about, oh, okay, that's interesting, because it worked well for me, but I did it this way. Obviously your audience slightly different. Have you thought about tweaking it here? They're the bits that are key. So networking, yes, getting all the information from the events, but also the networking and being able to set up a few little groups to be able to share that stuff that you've gone away to put together. So that's definitely worked really, really well in certainly in hockey it has, anyway.
Sure. Yeah, 100%. I mean, sharing is key. Best coaches in the world, best environments in the world will actually reveal everything they're doing straight away. Because they want that pressure of everybody knowing, so they can go on to the next level.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the All Blacks environment, it's hard not to tell when you're watching rugby what they're trying, what they're not trying. And it's one of them that I think, again, if you are confident enough, if you back yourself, if you're all about connections and people and creating the best environment, then obviously you're going to go and advertise what you're doing, because you want that pressure. You want people to go, oh, what are they planning for the next World Cup? What are they planning for the next game or whatever that could be? So, I mean, I'll challenge coaches all the time around my mentees. Go and sit down with the other coach. Make it really awkward. Sit down together and watch the game together, because you know both of you are going to take things out of each other. Go and interact with parents on the opposite team. See what the vibe is. Go and interact with players on the other team. Challenge your own players to go and get information from the opposition. At the end of the day, if I mean, we're doing this thing with a union in Argentina where there's about, I think it's just under 60 clubs. And they now make it sort of, they made it compulsory now that every time they finish a game, they've got to go and exchange. So coaches will go and exchange, players will go and exchange. How they're doing that, I'm not quite sure. I left them to their own devices. But the idea is that they sit down and they have a conversation about what just happened, what's going to happen next week in training, how is training going to look like. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that will go, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, or still try to hide things. But I'm 100% convinced that the best environments will come out of the coaches that are sharing the most.
Absolutely. So just on that, Rusty shared an international story around where I think it may have been England 16s or England 18s and boys, and they swapped. So at half time, one of the I think it was Scotland. So Scottish players came into the England changing rooms and like was giving feedback, and his feedback to the team was, we want it more than you do.
Yeah.
So, exactly. I mean, that's just impressive, isn't it? He's come in and you know, the player's gone straight away. We wanted it more. That's what I'm seeing this at halftime. We want it more than you. So,
that's absolutely awesome. Actually, in one of their training sessions when they were still doing the 18s, I remember, I'll never forget it. It was up in Leeds, West Park. And I saw a centre who's now playing in the Premiership at a top club. He's playing on the wing actually now. and he went to his opposite number just before they were going out to South Africa a couple of years ago, and he went, look, mate, this is why I'm breaking through you. Why do you look at this? So these two boys, they didn't know if they were going to South Africa yet. And within, let's call it 18 months, they had an under-20s World Cup coming up.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's too much for my head to process what they've created around their environment that actually enabled this player to go to his opposite number, a direct competitor for his seat on the plane, to go, this is where I'm breaking through. I just couldn't believe it. But yeah, I mean, you had to be there to actually believe it. So, but yeah,
coaches allowing their players to flourish in an environment like that, and be able to share with other players and their environments. So come in and have a look, and we'll go and have a look, and let's share stuff and supporting each other. Whether your opponents want that or not, that, you know, for me, I think that's just brilliant way of being open and sharing stuff. You know, you've got nothing to hide, have you? So why
100%, why not? 100%.
So, okay. Just on your events, the future of coaching is, well, the first one was it just before Christmas, wasn't it? I think
it wasn't
after Christmas. And that's where you had John O'Sullivan, Stu Armstrong, Mark Bennett with yourself there doing it. First time, that was at Stamford, and then you're doing it again this year in November at Bedford Modern School.
That's correct.
The lineup this time, we've got Fletcher Rusty from Magic Academy, Sarah Kelleher, the under 18 girls hockey lead coach, Richard Cheatham, who's from Winchester University and UK coaching developer, and Stu Armstrong, head of coaching. So we've got four this time. You've got four guest, obviously, with yourself there. Just before you go into it, anyone that hasn't had Richard Cheatham do anything with him, on my ACP, he came in on my last day. Actually, it was my last ever workshop, which is the Great Britain Hockey Programme, Advanced Coaching Programme, last bit. He absolutely blew my mind. So if he's going to be at this event, just be prepared to have your mind completely and utterly put places where you just... It was just unbelievable. I was just all over the place, and it was amazing, but I had to have a good half an hour afterwards to try and process what it was that I was going to do with all this information. It was awesome. It was lots of practice.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. He was also at our event back in January, alongside Alan Keane as well. Comes from basketball, under 18s coach. They were there just for one day, and they were there for the evening of our Q&A. And obviously I've heard Chiz before, and it's absolutely fantastic. It's mind blowing. But I sort of felt we needed more of him as well. But just trying to fit everything in 2 days, it's unbelievable hard. So we're working alongside Brett and Simon at Bedford Modern. Big shout to them, because they've embarked in this project quite early doors without knowing too much, and they've actually taken a huge gamble, which is fantastic. We're looking at something like 80 coaches there from all sorts of sports. 1st of November, throughout the day at Bedford Modern, with all the wonderful speakers that you just named, and then we're going back to Stamford in January. Those dates are going to be released during August or end of August. It's going to be a superb lineup as well. As usual, we're going to have some international speakers on that one, and we're going to add the dinner to the event for all the delegates to be able to hang for a little bit. And the feedback was phenomenal from January. But people just want to connect. People want to have the time to just to hang, really, and sort of share conversations. And so we thought the dinner on the Friday night, finishing early doors, so we can have a nice early start on the Saturday, would be a really good addition to it. I'm going to have a speaker at the dinner as well. So a former World Cup finalist is going to be there. So yeah, more details to come. Watch this space. Watch this space.
I like it. So let's go back just to finish with the Bedford Modern One Future of Coating Event 2. Do you want to give a little bit more details? What's expected to be? What's the format of the day at the moment in your head? I know that you've obviously got your speakers, and I'm sure you've got a way that you want to run it. So just to whet people's appetite here and try and get them to sign
Absolutely.
Up.
What's... So the schedule's coming out next week, actually.
Okay.
It's going to look it's not a traditional conference. People are not going to be sitting down for long. Come prepare with your trainers or your Astros or your boots, whatever you think is suitable for your athletic condition, because you're going to be running around, you're going to be watching, you're going to be asking loads of questions, hopefully. So we're going to start the day with one of our speakers, sort of setting the tone of the day. Then we're going to go out regardless of the focus. So we got indoor and outdoor sessions ready.
Okay.
We're going to do a rugby orientated session and a hockey orientated session with four of our speakers. So Sarah and Stuart are going to be leading the hockey, and Fletch and Rusty are going to be leading the rugby, with Cheats jumping from session to session because he's the most athletic person of the five, I believe. a nice add-on to this one is going to be that all the delegates are going to have the individuals' headsets, and they're going to be all the coach developers are going to have mics. They're going to be mic'd on. So the idea is that you don't lose any detail of the session, and you're actually able to ask questions through these devices and everything. So I think that's going to be a really, really great asset to the conference, because we've been there with speakers, with wind, with a little bit of a drizzle, and you're still outside. And you're sort of trying to pick up things, and you're trying to make notes. So I think having your own headset will give you lots more information and detail. And also, in a way, it will stop people from sort of gathering and maybe, I don't know, having little daydreams about something else that's happening around them. I think it's just a concentration sort of factor as well. We're going to repeat those sessions, so people don't have to choose, really, or will have, well, they could choose to go and watch the same one twice, obviously, but the idea is that they are able to watch both and listen to both and ask questions about both. And then we're going to have a fantastic lunch, I believe, and we're going to carry on with the afternoon with a couple more sessions indoors, not spending a lot of time sitting on our bottoms, but trying to learn by doing. And we're going to wrap it up with hopefully with a section that is going to be very short in terms of Q&A, because I'm a massive believer that the questions should be flying around throughout the day rather than just having a section for, oh, by the way, has anybody got a question from today at 9 o'clock, and it's probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's the day on itself. Again, we're going to set up an online community. We're going to set up a LinkedIn community, and we are hopefully, if people are willing to give away their phone numbers, we're going to set up a WhatsApp community as well. So the idea is that the courses or the day, the conference, is a start of what's coming rather than it's 5 o'clock, we're all going home, and that's it, really.
Brilliant. People may need a good drive home to recover. Okay. Well, Juan, that has been a quick whistle-stop tour into... a bit about you, a bit about Student America Coaching, a bit about the events that you've got coming up. We've been nearly 50 minutes. Thank you for your time. Thank you for putting so much back into sport, not just the one sport, but across sports, and helping coaches and stuff like that. It is amazing to see what you are doing. I've been fascinated with keeping up to date on social media of where you were going. It's easier now that you've got your Achilles injury, to keep up where you're going. You're not kind of going anywhere, so it's good to keep up with. But it's amazing watching you go around the world and sort of offering all this coaching support and club development and bringing people over to the UK and people from the UK abroad. I think it's amazing. So
I'm the one saying thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really, really grateful for the time and for your listeners to take the time. Get in touch. Please do get in touch. That's the whole purpose of this. And it's just, I mean, it's thank you to people like yourself for putting the word out there and trying to spread what we're trying to do, which at the end of the day is try to create the best experience for lots of youngsters playing lots of sports out there.
Absolutely. It's amazing. So keep it up. It's top work.
Thank you.